Jesus, you have come into our midst. You are coming in the form of a baby, unassuming and somehow needy. As we consider this paradox of God being made human, infantile, help us to identify our own needs, to come to you as humbly and honestly as we can muster. In your name we pray. Amen. So here we are at the halfway point of Advent. In the midst of the busyness of the season, they help to anchor us to the fullness of this not yet, but already impending coming of Christ, the celebration of Christmas. It's so easy to rush past these weeks, isn't it? Our calendars all fill up. They fill up with concerts and parties and parades and Christmas shopping and grocery shopping and cookie baking and gift wrapping. And yet every week, I come to this space again. You come here. We return corporately to Jesus together. We get to be reminded to slow down, to breathe a little deeper, to make space for the kingdom of God to break through in our lives. I don't know about you, but I am so grateful for the Sundays of Advent, for these corporate gatherings that help to return me to my rootedness in Jesus and in his body, the church. These Sundays help me to slow down again and to remove myself from the to-do list that's waiting for me and to focus on the real task, which is to be with Jesus. So Advent reminds us, it invites us to be our truest selves to Jesus, with Jesus, to make room in our lives again for his coming, for his friendship, for his love, for his transforming work to be done. You may have noticed the liturgical color these past few weeks. If you're not from a liturgical tradition, it may seem strange to have purple here on the communion table and purple in our candles and purple on the cross, draping the cross behind me. But this is the color of Advent, just as it is in Lent. And this color symbolizes both the kingdom of Jesus and a call to repentance, preparing our hearts for this Jesus. These seasons, Advent and Lent, they share a quietness and a darkness, a turning inward to examine our hearts and to confess what might be keeping us from God, and to invite us to hold vigil for the fullness of Jesus in his birth and his resurrection. To hold vigil, to light a candle and wait expectantly for the birth of our Savior. And yet somehow in the midst of this season, which is called repentance, a call to repentance, a call to fast and pray, there is this color of pink in our Advent wreath, a spark of joy. This third Sunday of Advent in Latin is called Gaudete, a season to rejoice. A Sunday to rejoice in the midst of the repentance. So yes, there is both. As we repent, we can yet rejoice for the work God has already done in us, for the work God is going to do in us. We get to notice where God is already at work, healing us and making us whole, and yet to wait with hope for the fullness of healing, the fullness of restoration to come. So our four lectionary passages this morning, the one we just heard from Pastor Kevin, we got to hear this continued message from what I like to refer to as our weirdo monk friend, John the Baptist. John is a strange dude, but he proclaims a gospel that is true, a gospel of repentance, a gospel of preparation to prepare our hearts for Jesus. And he does so strangely. He calls the people listening to him a brood of vipers. He condemns them for clinging to their ancestral roots in Abraham. They said, well, we have Abraham as our father. Doesn't that count for something? But he says, no, deal with your own sin. Bring it to Jesus. Be free from the corruption that has taken hold in your life. And in the midst of this call to repentance, in the middle of John the Baptist's message, in the middle of these four Sundays of Advent, three of which call us to return and repent, we have joy. Gaudete. We have the color pink. We have these three passages from Isaiah and Zephaniah and Philippians that swing in the exact opposite direction of this turn and repent. These three passages have themes of joy and hope and restoration and rejoicing and healing and wholeness. We have to hold both, right? We have to sit with our sin, with the things that have pulled us from God, and yet sit with hope and thanksgiving for what Jesus is already doing in us. So yes, this season requires preparation in the form of repentance. But also it brings forgiveness. Amen. It brings a fullness of joy that we can't help but share with others. So I'm going to really quickly go over those three passages that we've read this morning. So Kellyanne read for us Zephaniah, this prophet, this small prophet at the end of the Old Testament. And this book, these words are written to the people of Israel, the dispossessed people, the downtrodden people, the forsaken and forgotten and abused people of Israel, the ones who thought God must have forgotten us. Zephaniah reminds these people and reminds us that God's kingdom is about protecting those whom our world tramples, those who are suffering, those who are covered in shame. He lifts up. He says, I will lift you up. And he wants you people who have been lifted to go then and lift up the other lowly who remain trodden down and trampled by our world. Verse 17, it says, the Lord your God is in your midst. So way back in the beginning of the Old Testament, God was in their midst in the form of fire and cloud. They saw God's presence. But they had gone hundreds of years without seeing the presence of God. And yet Zephaniah, this prophet, said, the Lord your God is in your midst. And I believe he is here with us, church. The Lord your God is in your midst. God is and was and always will be with us. His presence is an invitation to, yes, repent and to return and to be filled with joy at the work God is doing with us. And then to be sent out to share that joy, to invite others into this healing and wholeness to anyone who will receive it. Zephaniah 15 through 20, it says, the Lord has taken away the judgments against you. Hear these words for your own life. The Lord has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst. You will fear disaster no more. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you with his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I imagine the exalted singing over you when I see my almost three-year-old singing to her infant sister. As Kirsten exults over Junia with singing, Junia, Junia, she just yells and sings and is gleeful and joyful. And for whatever reason, her baby sister loves it. And I imagine that that's how God feels about us. I'm just so happy that you're here, And then in Isaiah, this passage that Elizabeth read for us, it's a doxology of praise. And it's smack in the middle of this intense book of prophecy that calls this wayward people of Israel back to God. In the middle of all of this very condemning and turning and repenting language, we hear, "Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let it be known to the whole earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." You have reason to rejoice. A reminder again, God is in our midst. This is the incarnation. This is God made flesh. We are somehow waiting for the birth of Jesus, and yet it's already happened. And Jesus has left us with a portion of himself, a portion of the deity, the Spirit remains with us. One of my favorite Old Testament scholars, Walter Brueggemann, he writes this. This doxology in Isaiah, it is an act of confident hope that things in time to come, we don't know when, will be happily resolved. And then in Philippians, Sinjin read for us these words from the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi, and we are called to receive and then reveal God's healing work to the whole world. The Message version of this puts a beautiful ring on it. Eugene Peterson translates Paul's words this way. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side. You're working with them, not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. Jesus is wanting us to join him in his healing work in the world, to invite others to his table, both literally his table before us in communion and figuratively to be with God in our everyday lives. This is the gospel. Jesus has come to bring healing to the world, and we are to proclaim that healing to others. We get to partner with Jesus, God made flesh, to show others that healing and wholeness is possible, that it can be found in him. We are the ones who get to invite our cousins and our neighbors and our co-workers, our friends and our children and our grandchildren to join us in the healing work God is doing. Philip Campbell says, gospel joy is always shared joy. Gospel joy is always shared joy. But before we bring the glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, we get to receive that joy. We have to repent and receive healing. What we receive then, we pass on to others. So as I sat with these passages this week, and as I sat with Jesus asking him, what do you have for us in these four scriptures? This question came to mind. He asks it of me, and he asks it of you. What in you needs healing? What in you needs healing? My prayer for myself and for each of you is that we would slow down enough, get quiet enough to listen to what's going on inside of us. When I was a kid, the refrain from me was, "Slow down, Mel." My parents were always saying, slow down, Mel, because I was always running into walls, running into tables, stubbing my toe. I was eating too fast. I was talking too fast. And I see myself as my little Kirsten runs through the pews and looks that way, but runs this way and runs into the pew. And I'm not going to say, slow down, Kirsten, because I forever hear, slow down now. But that's what God invites us to do. To just sit still long enough to hear from him. Would you just let me hold you for 5 seconds? Jesus says to us. And to get quiet enough to listen to what's really going on inside of us. A couple of days ago, Ryan and I were talking, and Ryan said, how are you? You know, everybody says, oh, how are you? I'm good. And for some reason, I was like, I don't know. How am I? Because I don't slow down long enough to take stock of how I really am. So what stories are our bodies telling us about our pace and our habits and our lifestyle? What thoughts are swirling in your head? What feelings are getting churned in your gut that are unaddressed? That you've just said, I don't have time to deal with that, because that takes time and effort, and I've got stuff to do. But Jesus has come and is coming to heal us in order that we might bring his healing and wholeness to the world. This is his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what in you needs healing? I'm going to make space for you now, for just a few moments before we come to the table, to sit in stillness, to let Jesus show you what in you needs to be healed. Let Jesus tend to your wounds. Let them come. And I'll start with this prayer from Ted Loader. Oh God, it is hard for me to let go most times. And the squeeze I exert garbles and gnarls others. So loosen my grip a bit. Loosen my grip on those grudges and grievances I hold so closely, that I may risk exposing myself to the spirit of forgiving and forgiveness that changes things. Loosen my grip on my fears, that I may be released into a little humility and into an acceptance of my humanity, so I may take to heart that you have taken me to heart. What in you needs healing? So whatever came to mind, you can bring to the table. Your healing begins again and again here at the table of Jesus.